Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Chris Sutton. Let's get into the news of today. And the first thing we're going to be talking about is the ANC in Johannesburg is going to be facing a motion of no confidence. This motion of no confidence has been put forward in the mayor by the Democratic Alliance. And the ANC has vowed to crush the motion of no confidence, saying that we constitute over 65% of council votes. The motion is a non-starter. The DA said it was bringing the motion against the ANC, as well as the Speaker and Chief Whip in council, because of the state of Johannesburg and service delivery. The ANC also characterized the motion as a distraction and said they would deal with it. Interestingly, however, a separate motion has been brought, I think, in the Speaker of Council by former member of the ANC's coalition group, or maybe, I don't know, still current member. You never really understand with these things, Al-Jamaha, which seeks to remove the Speaker. So, Chris, let's start off on this one, because I think this is kind of important for sort of as we go towards the local government elections next year. There's a lot of things changing in the dynamics. I think as the parties prepare to start fighting for their seats in various councils across the country, it seems to me that this is probably doomed to failure. And that's because, as the ANC correctly points out, they have, if you take the ANC seats plus the EFF plus Action SA, they can afford to actually lose all those smaller parties, the Patriotic Alliance, Al-Jamaha, the PAC, et cetera, and still kind of hold off any challenge in that municipality. What do you make of this? And do you think this ANC coalition in Joburg will last?
In some forms, I think it will last, because even though you might have some doubts beforehand as to who's going to support it in the current coalition, when the rubber hits the road and when you've got limited access to state resources and sort of patronage, it does very often influence your voting pattern. I'm not saying it's 100%, it's guaranteed to always hold in every instance, but I think in this instance it will. You've got a city council under immense pressure operationally from voters, from citizens, because they haven't delivered in terms of service delivery. They've increased rates at different points over the last 2 years, but that hasn't been met by or met with an improvement in service delivery, especially on the part of City Power and Joburg Water. So those are the pain points for citizens, at least. We'll see if this pressure continues to mount on the sort of political powers that be. But it does indicate, I think, continuing mounting pressure on the ANC and their margins for running a coalition, never mind a sole majority on their own, becoming ever slimmer in the country's most populous province, which next year is going to be especially important in the local government elections, I think, along with KwaZulu-Natal. The Western Cape is probably only going to go in one direction, but Gauteng, I think, is going to be very, very hotly contested. And it's indicative of the way the ANC has governed, the way it has behaved. It hasn't held its members to account that this is the position in which they find themselves, this kind of motion of no confidence. Whether it succeeds or not in and of itself is an indication, perhaps, of how other political parties and then the citizens they represent view the role that the ANC has played in the city of Joburg.
Yeah, it's just fascinating every time I look at the composition of the Johannesburg City Council, where in the last local government elections, the ANC only got about a third of the votes in total, the DA in second place with just over a quarter of the vote, Action SA in third place with 16%, and the EFF at 10%. So it really is an incredibly divided city council, and I think that's why we've seen so many motions of no confidence and so much instability. Is the simple fact is, you know, it's been difficult to hold together coalitions to govern the city. But I think, you know, it may actually even be a bit of a mistake for the ANC to try and hold on to Joburg right now. They have not covered themselves in glory recently, and being able to throw the city into someone else's lap, or to be able to blame, you know, problems in the city on instability caused by these reckless opposition motions of no confidence would be useful to them. I don't think, you know, there's going to be any kind of magical service delivery turnaround between now and the next local government election. So this does seem like it's a bit of a poison chalice at the moment. And of course, the DA is also doing this because they want to go to the voters come next time and say the only way that you can get rid of Dado Marrero or get rid of this coalition in Joburg is to give us a very secure control over the city. It's going to be very interesting, of course, I think, to see what Action SA does. I mean, as far as I understand, they're going to back the ANC mayor here, but you know, how's that going to affect them come local government election? A lot of Action SA support comes from people who are anti-ANC voters, but vote for the, you know, previously voted for the DA. Are those people then going to go back to the DA? Are they going to go somewhere else? Its support in the townships is much more modest, but it's still, you know, it registers on in a number of wards in 2021. Will they hold on to that? I think that's also an open question now. So strategically for them, I think it's also important to watch. The broader picture here is that there's now also a report about, if you look at the total number of by-elections in the country since 2021, the ANC has really been having a tough time. And I think this is one of those sort of portents of doom for the next local government election. We can see it in as we just said, in, you know, maybe upcoming in Joburg, where it's going to be a bitter fight for control of the city. But you have an analysis saying the ANC is about 40 wards less across the country from all the by-elections since 2021 than it had previously, losing wards all over the place, to the IFP, to the EFF, to MK, to the PA, to the DA, sort of bleeding from every single part of the body. What do you think? I mean, how much should we read into these by-election results?
Look, I think along with by-election performance, along with polling, along with national election and provincial election performance, if you look at trends over a longer period of time and those findings from different surveys, from the Institute of Race Relations, from the Social Research Foundation, the Prentice Foundation, Ipsos, if you then look at things like margin of error, then you start to get a picture of direction of travel among South African voters. So it's not to say that performance in one particular by-election is then a guarantee of future performance by a particular party. But if you take that along with polling findings and previous election performance, it tells you where, in which direction a party is trending. There might still be developments that shift that radically, but it's generally accepted that it's trending in that direction. So, I mean, if you said 10 to 15 years ago, it's now in 2025 and the ANC is guaranteed nationally to be below the 50% threshold. Yes, different polls have the ANC at different points. The Institute poll in March had the ANC at 29%. Now the Social Research Foundation recently has them back at 40%. Whether you take the 30 or the 40, it's confirmed now under 50. So that's where they're trending. If you take that then coupled with by-election performance, it tells you that more and more citizens are choosing to vote differently, or in some cases, obviously choosing not to vote, unfortunately. But I think the travel of direction for the ANC, if they don't really change, and I'm not saying talking about renewal and changing policies, if they don't fundamentally change, there's no reason to think they won't arrest this particular decline. Whether they lose voters to the DA, to the MK party, whether those people decide not to vote, the faith in the ANC has really started shifting from under their feet very, very quickly. I think they're in that sort of quicksand phase of where they find themselves now, 30 years into where they still refer to themselves as a revolutionary movement while they've been governing the country for 30 years. When you think so differently about your role in society and it doesn't mesh with actually what you, the impact you make in citizens' lives, a positive impact, there's a little surprise. I'll just mention a last point. We're obviously leading up to the national dialogue and the national convention and some of the costing estimates around 700 million rand. Every by-election is a national dialogue. Every local government election is a national dialogue. Every national election and provincial is a national dialogue. It's just that the ANC is so desperate to find a forum in which it is held up as still correct and where its policies can be preferred and it can just run over people, that it wants to find another opportunity to have this dialogue. But citizens, South Africans, former ANC faithful, they continue election after election, including in these by-elections, to tell the ANC what they think of the party.
And the historical trends for the ANC in local government elections are not particularly good. Almost every local government election, they perform worse than they did in the most recent local, the most recent national elections just before that. So if you look at 2014 in Johannesburg, the ANC gets 53% of the vote In Joburg, in the next local government election, only 2 years later, they're down to 44% of the vote. Then you go and you look at the national elections last year, and the ANC only got 34% of the vote in Johannesburg, which could see them losing their position in Joburg, for example. And I'm just using that as an example. I think this is a trend across much more of the country as the biggest party. Now, that actually doesn't mean they're going to necessarily lose the mayorship, because the coalition dynamics might work out in Joburg that they still hold on. But this, I think, is the sign that the party really is not looking in a great place going into 2021. And if they can't sort of turn around the narrative now, I think they're going to be in a lot of trouble. Okay, let's move on to our next story. We've discussed this a little bit last week, but it might be worth mentioning a little bit. Foi Chivambu's new political party. Our colleague Makone Maja watched Foi Chivambu's press conference where he essentially announced, he didn't say he was going to create a new political party, but he said he was beginning an exploratory committee to do such a thing, which is always means that someone's going to start a political party. He was saying that he's very keen to not fall into a solo act. Now, Makone watched the whole thing, and she said that the reporting on it did not do it justice, that it was sort of all over the place and crazy and wild, and some of the most fun details were not particularly well reported about, particularly about the intelligence report, which had supposedly resulted in him being kicked out of MK, which involved, I think, accusations of supernatural means that he was going to use to destroy Zuma. But be that as it may, what's quite interesting about this is Chivambu, I think, actually has a pretty, he's quite critical of basically all the parties, trying to justify why there needs to be a new party. He says the ANC is in collaboration with the white system, although I think this is also him just being afraid to go and join the ANC when it looks like it's about to bleed, as we've just discussed in that first piece. He said, "I'm not going to rejoin the EFF because it's a cult," which I think is a fairly accurate description of things. He said that, MK has all these these weaknesses, but it's got this great, glorious leader in President Zuma who is unfortunately being controlled by this crowd of evil criminals who are just seeking to loot the party. Now, well, I think this is a, quite funny characterization from Foi Chivambu, who I think, created a constitution for the MK party, which is incredibly dictatorial and top-down, and tried to make himself essentially king of that party. I think this is quite rich coming from him. But be that as it may, I wouldn't be surprised if some of his allegations turn out to be correct. He says that he said that he will not fall into the trap of creating a solo political act. Quote, "I'm not starting a solo political project. This is not a matter of a music band like Brenda Farsi and the Black Dudes. That if Brenda Farsi is not there, then the Black Dudes cannot operate. A political party cannot have that character." Yeah, so I think part of the reason he's saying that is because, in terms of star power himself, he actually doesn't have the star power to carry a political party. I do, however, think that there's a bigger point in this, Chris, and I'd like your thoughts on this. I think that one of the issues that South African politics has had recently, and you see it particularly, I think, in the MK party and Action SA, these are parties, and the EFF too, and these are parties that are really singularly built around one personality. And that can give you a lot of initial traction. But ultimately, what the problem with that strategy is, it does weaken you structurally over time. And then you become too tied to the fortunes of one particular person. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And in the climate of South Africans, I think getting more and more tired of these sort of one-man bands or perceived one-man or one-woman bands, you're not going to do particularly well. Like, the best hope for Chivambu might be to get some votes from EFF and MK supporters and maybe get a seat or two in parliament, although even that would be a very, very long shot towards the next national elections, building sort of structures for a new party that takes not just votes, but just takes media and other oxygen and attention away from a party like MK. Because I'm assuming Chivambu, given his education, his pronouncements at various instances, I mean, at this particular press conference, also going off on Marxist-Leninist tangents, he wants to be this intellectual, that's not going to gain oxygen or attention from MK, for example, from a force of personality that is Jacob Zuma, never mind also then from the EFF or other more established political parties like the IFP, Patriotic Alliance, Action SA, maybe one or two others. It's a bed that he's made for himself. If he went into this naive or not sure about the kinds of personalities that President Zuma was bringing around him to establish his party, including Mr. Shivambu and some of the allegations against him around the looting of VBS, you know, what did you think was going to happen? And sort of in this nest of vipers, to put it very diplomatically, if you turn against some of them for whatever reason, give them reason to oust you, they're going to act very, very quickly because they want to shore up their own support and get the ear of President Zuma, who remains the leader of MK. I'll mention a last point. He talks about these, you know, these shadowy figures. So I wonder if he'd been reading a little bit of Lord of the Rings before his press conference and he had images of Wormtongue in his mind.
I'm sure that's the image he was trying to conjure. All right, last story for today. There's still reporting that's coming in on this one, but it is, I think, one of these stories that highlights a bigger problem. 10 more South African National Defence Force members have been arrested today in connection with the murder of Hawks member, Lieutenant Colonel Frans Matipa. Hawks spokesperson said the 10 suspects handed themselves over to the Hawks Serious Organized Crime Investigative Unit in Johannesburg. They're all SANDF members. They are going to be facing charges of murder and kidnapping. Chris, I think this highlights an ongoing issue in the country, which will need some creative solving when you get a government that's actually interested in taking on this problem, which is that there has been a significant infiltration of criminal elements into not just the police, but also the military.
Yeah, if one hopes and accepts that it can be solved, it's gonna require sort of putting out the roots and the branch approach. It's not going to be just putting in different people at high level positions kind of thing. It's a structural thing. It's an organizational thing. This kind of corruption and just the feelings I think that it generates amongst at least some of those within the sort of organization that still think they're, you know, part of a noble endeavor and doing it for sort of country duty, the kinds of effect that this has on organizational psyche, I think, isn't yet as understood as it could be, but it's still going to manifest in these kinds of ways, unfortunately. So it's indicative of the state in which our, what should be, you know, our defense forces find themselves. So, never mind talking about South Africa being able to apply force outside our borders. If this is the kinds of deep issues that they're dealing with, it's a little surprise that when they are required or deployed to other places and even within our borders, yeah, never mind the equipment issues. This is a much deeper problem, unfortunately.
And there's probably going to be more on the story as the case develops, and that the murdered police officer was investigating the abduction of an alleged ISIS leader from the Mall of Africa and was looking into allegations that the SNDF had been involved. So that's a whole can of worms that just seems like a big mess. And I really will be curious to find out what actually has been going on there. It seems like this was a very serious issue in our armed forces if so many have been arrested. Okay. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much for watching. We hope that you found this interesting. Thank you for listening, and we will see you tomorrow with The Daily Friend Show. Cheers, everyone. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.